Back in 1980, dark ages, back in the dark ages, back in 1980, 18-year-old Willie Ramirez was admitted to a Florida hospital in a comatose state. His friends and family at the time tried to describe his condition to the paramedics and doctors who were treating him, but Willie's family only spoke Spanish. They told the hospital staff that Willie was intoxicado. Now, that word, intoxicado, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right or not, could be intoxicado, I don't know, whatever. That word is what translators call a false friend. And what that means is that word doesn't mean what you might think it means. For example, if you're like me and you don't speak Spanish, you might think intoxicado means what? Intoxicated. Logical assumption, but not correct. In Spanish, intoxicado refers to a state of poisoning, usually from ingesting something toxic to the system. Ramirez's family was trying to tell the nurses and the doctors that Willie was suffering from food poisoning. Literally, they were saying he is poisoned. But when the doctors grabbed a hospital staff person to translate for the Ramirez family, the staff worker incorrectly said Willie was intoxicated. So the doctors treated him as if he were suffering from an intentional overdose. As a result of the misdiagnosis and subsequent wrong course of treatment, Willie became a quadriplegic. Sometime later, the hospital settled with the Ramirez family for several million dollars in a wrongful mistreatment suit. Now, I share that story to make this point. Understanding the meaning of words is important, right? Over the summer, Mark and I have been preaching about getting back to our mission of being and making disciples. But it occurs to me that we may be saying and meaning one thing with all of this talk about being and making disciples, but some of you may be hearing and understanding something very different than what we're actually intending. And so to try and keep that from happening, I want us to dig a little deeper this morning into some of the words we've been using recently, one in particular, and that is the word disciple. What is a disciple? If I were to ask you right now to take out a piece of paper, use one of the cards that we provide or whatever, and define a disciple, describe a disciple, my guess is if I were to collect them all up and look at them, we would have a wide range of ideas about the answer to that question, what is a disciple? So we want to try to drill down into that a little bit more today and see if we can't begin to collectively understand the answer to that question. Because as we move forward in this desire to be a church on a mission, the mission of being and making disciples, that becomes a really important question and answer, right? We need to know what it is we're called to be, and we need to know what it is we're called to be doing when we talk about making disciples. So an answer to this, we don't need 100 different answers to this question. We need one. And from that, then, we can move forward and be that and be about the making of that. So this is a really important lesson, I think, for us today as we try to determine a good answer to this question. What is a disciple? What are we talking about? Now, I want to begin. If you're following along in your outline this morning, you see a number of blanks there that you can follow along with and fill in the blanks. Glad for you to do that. Want you to do that if that helps you. We're going to start with two empty blanks there at the first. And this may seem like an odd place to start, but I want to begin, first of all, with a negative. And that is, I want to look at what a disciple is not, okay? And there are two answers I want to give you this morning. They're very similar, but just slightly different enough to make two instead of one. First of all, a disciple is not a super committed Christian. Okay? Some people have the misguided idea that there are two kinds or two classes of people in the church. There are ordinary believers, ordinary Christians, and then there are those who are the super committed believers, the super committed Christians, aka disciples. We need to know something. Scripture knows nothing of that kind of division. There are not two kinds of classes of Christians. We don't have ordinary believers, ordinary Christians, and then we've got Christians on steroids, and we call them disciples. Scripture knows nothing of that kind of division. Now, Scripture does talk about immature Christians and mature Christians and immature disciples and mature disciples, but we need to realize when we're talking about disciples, we're not talking about some special group of people who are somehow different than everybody else. Christians and disciples, while two different words, are descriptive of the same person. So if you are a Christian, you are also a disciple. If you are a disciple, you are also a Christian. Okay? Two different words, but referring to the same individual or same group of individuals. We don't have some who are Christians and some who are disciples. We have Christians, immature and mature, committed, not so committed. And we have disciples, immature, mature, some committed, some not so committed, but we're talking about the same thing here. So I want to dispel this idea that disciples is somehow reserved for a special group of Christians who are somehow different than other Christians. The Bible knows nothing about that. The second point is kind of similar to that, just slightly different, and that is a disciple is not a believer or a Christian who has decided to take it to the next level and go into the ministry. All right? Wes and Jake and Jan and I and Mark, we are not disciples in the sense that we're disciples and the rest of you who aren't in the ministry with us aren't. Okay? Again, the Bible knows nothing about that kind of division. Disciples are not special Christians who've gone into the ministry who are different from all other Christians who haven't gone into the ministry. Scripture talks about a priesthood of believers in which all disciples are ministers of Jesus. Now, we have different roles, right? We have different abilities, we have different gifts, we have different talents. But every single one of us, right here from Danny, all the way over here to Nathan, you're all disciples if you've decided to follow Jesus and give Him your life. Disciples are not a segment of the Christian population, somehow separate and apart from all other Christians. Now, you may be wondering, why are you hammering that so much? Because this is going to become really important down the road as we think about who we're called to be and what we are called to be about. We're all in the disciple-making business. That is not something that just one section of this church is responsible for doing. Okay? That's why I think this understanding is really crucial. It's really important that you get in your mind this idea that as a disciple of Christ, you are called to be a disciple and make disciples, as am I. That's part of all of our responsibility. So I'm trying to dispel this notion that I'm afraid some may have, and that is, well, when you talk about making disciples, you're not talking about me. That's not what I do. That's not who I'm about. That's for somebody else. No, no, no. We're all in this together. We're all part of the church. We're a priesthood of believers. We may do that differently. We may have different talents and gifts and abilities and resources that play out in different ways, but all of us are called to be part of this mission of being and making disciples. That's not just for a select group that we've designated, well, those are the disciple makers. I do this. No, we're all involved in this in some way, some level, some shape and form. All right, so those are two things that a disciple is not. All right, so I hope I've hammered that probably hard enough. Time to move on. All right, so now that we know what a disciple isn't, what is a disciple? Before we share a definition of what it means to be a disciple, there are two criteria that are really, really important that we establish. However we're going to define what it means to be a disciple, it needs to be grounded in Scripture. In other words, it needs to how we're going to define what it means to be a disciple needs to be based in Scripture. We are a people who have a high view of Scripture. Churches of Christ fall into the category of Protestant churches who have a high view of Scripture. We value Scripture. We like to talk about, Mark is the one who kind of initiated this a couple of years ago, we like to talk about how we have four values in this church. Those four values come out of a passage in Luke's gospel that Mark preached on a couple of years ago, where we see Jesus' ministry was grounded in Scripture, led by the Spirit, compassionate service to people whose lives are broken and messed up, and faithfully proclaiming the goodness and the favor of God to all. So those are four values that we have as a body of believers. We value Scripture, we want to be led by the Spirit, we want to minister to broken people, and we want to proclaim the favor of God to all. So if we're going to have a definition of what is a disciple, what it means to be a disciple, we want that definition to be rooted in Scripture. Second criteria is we want a definition that we can understand. Okay? We want a definition of what it means to be a disciple that is not convoluted, not complicated, that even the children who've gone downstairs to the cool kids service, that even they can understand it and remember it and say what it is, what it means to be a disciple. So we want a definition that is rooted in Scripture, and we want a definition that we can get our minds around. It's clear, it's understandable, something we can work with. So with that criteria, biblical and understandable, what is a disciple? Now, I could give you a lot of good working, biblical, clear to understand definitions of what a disciple is. We've got to land on one. And what I'm going to share with you this morning, I'm not sharing it from the standpoint that this is the only way that this question could be answered. I'm not presenting it in that type of fashion. I'm just saying this is a good answer. It's biblical and it's understandable. Those are the two criteria that we want to meet. Are there other ways to describe what a disciple is? Yes. They might even be better than this one. I don't know. I wouldn't debate that with you. Could be. But this is just one that works with me. And since I'm the one that's up here preaching that, we got to do that, okay? I can't work with your definition. I got to work with mine. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to go back to a definition that I first shared with you several weeks ago when we first started looking at this subject matter back in June. And on that morning, very briefly, I answered this question. We didn't have a lot of time that morning because I had a lot of other things to answer that morning as well. We're going to go back and dig a little bit deeper into this passage that we looked at that morning. So if you've got your scriptures and you want to follow along with me, go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. We want to ground our definition of what is a disciple in Scripture. So let's go to Scripture. Let's go to a gospel. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19. Now, this is the verse that we looked at several weeks ago, from which I'm going to give you an answer to this question, what is a disciple? Now, it's important to put this in its context. Jesus is, as Matthew's gospel is unfolding, this is fairly early in Jesus' public ministry. And he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he happens upon some men who are fishermen by trade. The first two brothers he meets are Peter and Andrew. A little bit later in Mark's gospel, he also meets another set of brothers, James and John. They're also fishermen. And so Jesus is walking along and he encounters these two fishermen. Now, something you probably need to know that would give some insight into this passage is this is probably not the first time that Jesus has spoken with Peter and Andrew and James and John. We don't have time to flesh that out this morning, but if you flipped over to John's gospel and read the first chapter of John's gospel, you would find out there probably the first time that Jesus had any interactions with Peter and Andrew and James and John. This occurrence in Matthew's gospel, in my understanding of the chronology of events of Jesus' life, probably occurred after the events recorded in John chapter 1. Not a long time after that, but sometime after that. So Peter and Andrew, and then later on James and John, have already had some interaction with Jesus. They've already got some idea of who he is when he walks up to them on the shore there and begins to say to them what he says here now in chapter 4 and verse 19. There we read these words. And he, Jesus, said to them, Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, when we dig down into this verse, I'm going to pull out of it three legs. I want you to imagine in your mind a stool. And this stool has three legs that make it functional and useful. If you take any one of those legs away, the stool won't function. It won't work the way it's supposed to work. It won't provide a secure place for you to sit. So you've got this stool that's got three legs intertwined. And that's kind of the image I want you to use here. Out of this passage, I'm going to identify three legs, three components that help to define both biblically and in a clear, easy to understand way, an answer to our question, what is a disciple? And it's very important that we as a church begin to understand this definition, how we're using this term, what we mean when we talk about what it means to be a disciple. First, a disciple is someone who is willing and has recognized the authority of Jesus and consequently is willing to follow him. The first words that Jesus extends to Peter and Andrew and later to also James and John and then even to the author of this particular gospel, Matthew, follow me. A disciple of Jesus is one who is willing to follow Jesus. You could say this is the head part of what it means to be a disciple, because with the mind, with the brain, with the head that we have, the intellect that we have, there comes a point where we have to decide, am I going to follow this man or not? Peter and Andrew had to make that decision. Jesus comes up to them and he says, follow me. And so Peter and Andrew at that point had a choice, right? A decision had to be made. Am I going to follow this man? Or am I not going to follow this man? They decided they saw something in Jesus that made them want to say and do, I'm going to leave everything behind and I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to follow Jesus. And so a disciple is someone who at some point in their life, based on the evidence that they've had, And for some, it'll be more than it is for others. But based upon their understanding of who Jesus is, a disciple is someone who has been willing to say, I'm going to follow this man. This is who I'm going to trust. This is who I'm going to entrust my life to. This is who I'm going to follow. This is who I'm going to learn from. This is who I'm going to be like. This is who I'm going to make the Lord of my life. So when we talk about being a disciple, what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that we are people who at some point in our lives have said, I'm going to follow Jesus, and they've been willing to make that first step. This is who I'm going to follow. This is who I'm going to be. So that's the first leg, the first component of our answer to this question. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who has said, I'm willing to follow Jesus. Second, a disciple is someone who is being changed by Jesus. Now, let me back up just a moment. Deciding to follow Jesus, we're going to talk in a moment a little bit about how that decision is made. In the early days of the church, that decision culminated in baptism in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We could call it going public. When you were willing to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that declared your allegiance to this triune community embodied in Jesus. Now, unfortunately, some of us have developed this idea that that's the end of what it means to be a disciple. I make a decision for Jesus, I get baptized, that's the end of it. No, that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. Now comes the second leg, the second component of what it means to be a disciple, and that is a disciple is one who is being changed by Jesus. Jesus says, if you're still looking at the text, I will make you. I'm going to make you into something you're not right now, but what I envision you becoming. In this invitation to Peter and Andrew, Jesus hinted at what he was not only going to do for them, but what he does for anyone who decides to follow him, and that is he's going to take us where we are, who we are, and he's going to remake us into a very different person. Too many, and I've said this before, have the mistaken idea that they've got to clean themselves up before they can follow Jesus. That's not how it works. We don't clean ourselves up, we don't fix what's broken, and then start following Jesus. Rather, we decide, this is the guy I'm going to trust, this is who I'm going to follow, we start to follow Jesus, and then as we follow Jesus, Jesus cleans us up and begins to repair what's broken in us and transform us into His likeness and His image. If you read the Gospels carefully, you find that those who accepted this invitation to follow Jesus, these young boys, basically. I don't have a lot of time to toy around here, but when you think of Peter, in your mind, how old is he in this exchange with Jesus here? If you're anything like I am, you're probably thinking of Peter as a grown man. He's probably the oldest of all the disciples. We know he was married, right? So he's probably the oldest. But he's closer to a teenager than any of us might have ever thought. These boys, these young men who decided they were going to follow Jesus were like any young man that you've ever known. At times, they were selfish, they were rude, they were clueless, they were immature. Even after they had followed Jesus for nearly 3 years, they still argued about which one was the greatest. Jesus didn't invite these young men to follow him because they had it all together. They didn't. They were just young men. In some cases, they were probably teenagers. Do you know any teenager who has it all together? Sorry, those of you who fall into that category. Let's rephrase it this way. When you were a teenager, did you have it all together? My goodness, no. What an idiot I was. How stupid, clueless, immature, selfish. Even still today, I'm still like that more than I care to admit. But as a teenager, oh, my lands, right? These guys were no different. Jesus didn't invite them to follow him because they were mature and had it all together. No, he called them to follow him because he had a vision of what they could become with his help. Responding to the call of Jesus and follow him is the beginning. And then he begins to change us and remake us and reshape us into his image and his likeness. Folks, this is why in recent weeks, and Mark has really talked about this more than I have, that coming to Jesus and following Jesus is not about a transaction. It's about transformation. And so part of our answer to what it means to be a disciple is that if I'm a disciple, I'm willing to let Jesus change me. I'm not who I think he yet sees me being. But hopefully I'm a lot closer to that now than I was when I first started following Jesus. And that's the point. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who has decided, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to let Jesus change me. I'm going to let him work on me and take me from what I am to what he envisions me to be. So many of us, and I don't mean to just bash what some of us heard growing up, and maybe I shouldn't try to speak for you, but I had a very skewed understanding of what all this is about for many, many years. I had a transactional view of the gospel. The gospel was, in effect, Jesus saying to me, you do this, this, and this, and I'll give you this. You get baptized, and then you go to church. And in the little fellowship that I grew up in, what that meant was you believe the right things about three things. You believe the right things about the plan of salvation. You believe the right things about the way we worship. And you believe the right way that we're organized. Get those three things down. I know I'm oversimplifying it here, but very much, this was my way of thinking. You get baptized. You go to the right church, you do the right things, you believe the right things about certain important things, and then you die and go to heaven. Now, in that, there wasn't a lot of passion for being transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus. And what I'm saying to you is, I think that transactional view of the gospel is very shallow, very flat, very misguided. If that's all somebody's got, maybe that's a good place to start, but it's much better than that. It's much deeper than that. Jesus wants us to be changed. He wants to change us. That's what he said to Peter and Andrew. Follow me, and I am going to make you into something that right now you're not. But with my help, you can become. And Jesus, that invitation continues today. Follow me, and I'm going to take you where you are, and I'm going to make you into something you're not yet, but you will be. And so the second leg, the second component, the second answer of this, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who's decided to follow Jesus. A disciple is someone who's been changed by Jesus. And number three, a disciple is one who joins Jesus in his work of rescuing and redeeming lost people. See, that's where Jesus wants to take all of us. It may take him a while to get some of us there. It may take longer for some, shorter for others. But eventually, Jesus wants us to become his hands and his feet. Passionate about what he's passionate about. Involved in what he's involved in. And what is that? That's rescuing and redeeming lost people. I like the way Bobby Harrington and Jim Putman put it in their book. It's a book called Disciple Shift. They say, if our acceptance of Jesus begins in the head, that's the following part, and extends to the heart, that's the transformation part, it leads to a change in what we do with our hands. And so each one of these components of this definition, head, heart, hands. A disciple is someone who with the head has said, I'm going to follow Jesus. A disciple is someone who with their heart says, Jesus, I want you to change me. And a disciple is someone who with their hands says, Jesus, I want you to use me. I want to be your hands and your feet. See, it takes all three of those to really answer the question, what is a disciple? Prior to meeting Jesus, think about this. Prior to meeting Jesus, what were Peter and Andrew consumed with? What'd they do for a living? They fished. So what was their life about prior to meeting Jesus? It was about fishing and making money, because that's what they did to make a living. But once they decided to follow Jesus, once they started following Him, hanging out with Him, watching Him, listening to Him, learning from Him, once He had an opportunity to begin to remake them into what He wanted them to be, they had a change of heart, and they came to care about not just fishing for money, but fishing for people. They became the hands and feet of Jesus. Works the same way today. When we follow Jesus, His Spirit begins to work on us, and over time, the passions and desires that used to drive us, money, popularity, possessions, fame, power, prestige, whatever it was, lose their hold on us as we begin to be more and more like Jesus, driven by what drove Him, and that was reaching and rescuing lost people. Okay, using this invitation of Jesus in Matthew 4, then we can develop a biblical and easy to understand answer to the question, what is a disciple? And church, it's important that we get this. This is what we're talking about. This is who we're called to be, and this is what we're called to be about. Making people who are following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, involved in the work of Jesus. That's a biblical, easy to understand answer to the question, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who's following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, involved in the work of Jesus. We are people who are following Jesus, and we want to help others follow Jesus. If we are disciples, then that means we're being changed by Jesus, and we want to help others be changed by Jesus from what they are to what Jesus envisions them becoming. And finally, we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus on campus, in this community, and all across the globe, so that other people can become the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that more people can come to know and taste the goodness of the Lord. All right, I want to close real quickly. I've got just a couple of minutes. I think I can do it. By asking two questions. Number one, are you this kind of disciple? Are you a disciple of Jesus? If in faith and with a penitent heart, you have confessed Jesus as Lord and have been baptized into the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Scripture says you are a disciple of Jesus. I don't care where you did that. I don't care what name was on the church building. I don't care what title was behind the person who baptized you. None of that matters. All that matters is that at some point in your life, in faith and a penitent heart, you have confessed Jesus as Lord and have made that public by being baptized in the triune name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If that's who you are a disciple. And we invite you to join this body of disciples and help us do the work that we're called to do here on this corner. My second question is this: are you a committed disciple of Jesus? Are you a growing disciple of Jesus? Are you leaning in hard and following Jesus closely, so much so? I love this image that Mark shared a couple of weeks ago, that you're covered in the dust of your rabbi. What a beautiful expression they had in the ancient world, in the dust of your rabbi. What it meant was that you followed your rabbi so closely that his dust got on you. Are you leaning that hard into following Jesus? Some of us are trying to follow him from so far a distance that very little of his dust ever gets on us. We need to get in close. Lean in hard. Hard enough that the dust of Jesus gets all over us. Are you open to his Spirit changing you? Or are you pretty content just where you are? A disciple of Jesus ought never to say, well, that's just how I am. That's just how God made me. No. Jesus wants to change us from who we've been, from who we may be, to who he envisions us being. And finally, are you caught up in your own desires and wants, or are you passionate about being the hands and feet of Jesus wherever he's placed you? In school, on campus, at work, wherever we interact with people, is it our desire in those contexts to be the hands and feet of Jesus? To let people see and hear something in us that points them and draws them not to us, but to Jesus. That's the kind of disciple we want to be. And those are the kind of disciples that we want to be about the business of making. If we can help you this morning, meet me down here as Danny leads us in a song in just a moment. Before he does that, bless somebody beside you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.